turning to Proverbs 18, and we're up to verse 10. Proverbs 18, we're reading verses 10 and 11. And what we're learning about today is where true security is found. These verses have a very simple message. True security in verse 10, false security in verse 11. But having heard that, it's not as though we know everything. The Word of God is going to draw us deeper, that we might understand true security, that we might understand false security, that we might cling to that which is true and reject that which is false. That's what the Word of God is designed for us to do. Verses 10 and 11, this is the Word of God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and has an high wall in his own conceit. The precious word of the living and the true God. True security and false security. But I want you to see something. You have to look very carefully at verse 10. Look way to the end of the verse. The last word gives you a clue. The word is safe. The righteous runneth into the name of the Lord as a strong tower and is safe. There's an assumption in that word, safe. And the assumption is what you know from the rest of Proverbs, what you know from the rest of Scripture, what you know from the verses surrounding these verses, that we live in a world of danger. We live in a world of danger, and part of the danger has already been described for us in verse 8 as gossip. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of his belly, of the belly. We know that part of the danger is injustice. We live in a fallen world, and there is danger here. No surprise that at the end of verse 9, as we saw last week, the great waster is speaking of one who destroys, one who oppresses. We live in a world where we need safety. And that's why it's important that we consider verse 10. If we don't understand that we need security, we won't seek it. If we think that we are already secure, like verse 11 says, we won't seek the true security. But we need to understand, first of all, that we live in a world of lots of different types of danger. It's a fallen world. Bad things happen in a fallen world. Bad things happen as a result of the action of people and the orientation of people's hearts. And we need security from all of them. And this is the place to turn. This is what verse 10 is telling us. True security is found in the name of the Lord. That's where true security is found. Now, when this verse says the name of the Lord, it's using language that actually doesn't appear in this way in the whole of the book of Proverbs. The name of the Lord, that phrase, it's a very important phrase in the Bible. The name of the Lord, you see, it's not just simply Lord. That's the name of the Lord. But it's a covenant name, isn't it? It's a name that represents God's character. We see this as we remember what God said concerning his name way back in the book of Exodus. In Exodus 33 and verse 19, after Moses asked God to show him his glory, he said, Exodus 33:19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And then in chapter 34 and verse 5, the Lord descends in a cloud, and he stands with Moses and proclaims the name of the Lord. So what is his name? Perhaps it's the name that he gave to Moses at the burning bush. But when God proclaims his name to Moses, he doesn't just simply say, I am that I am. He says more. He unpacks his character. And this is the name of the Lord. It represents everything that makes up God's character. God's character is proclaimed as Moses hears and experiences the Lord passing by in Exodus 34:6 and proclaims, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. Did you know that? The name of the Lord, that is this strong tower, this place of security, is actually God's character. God's character in all of its aspects summed up for you. Some of you have learned the catechism question, Westminster Shorter Catechism 4, which says that God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, in his power, being, wisdom, justice, goodness, and truth. I think I put them out of order. The point is that God is not only infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in one aspect of his being, but he is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in all of them. In every single one. When God is infinite in his wisdom, when God is infinite in his power, in his holiness, in his justice, his goodness, and his truth, he is beyond you and me in all of those areas. His being is beyond your being. He's infinite. He's eternal. Never had a beginning, will never have an end. And he's completely unchangeable. He's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his wisdom. So I face a problem this week. Where do I turn? Where is a place where I can find wisdom that is prepared for this event in my life, for me in this situation, that is as if it was prepared in eternity past, that is present and ready for me in this situation? Where can I find such security? The name of the Lord represents all of his character qualities at once. That is why the verse says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is saved. Notice what it doesn't say. Anyone can run into it. Some of you have worked with people on the job. They hit their finger with a hammer and they say the name of Jesus. But when they say the name of Jesus, they're not saying the name of Jesus as people who are turning to the living God, as he's revealed to us in Jesus Christ, and finding security in him and safety in him. It's like a protest that something has gone wrong. But somehow they know that that's the name that they should use. No, it's the righteous. It's people who have been transformed by the Spirit, who begin to understand God's character, who actually are able to turn to the living God in a way that brings safety and security. It's important because the Bible again and again tells you to trust in this name. It tells you to trust in the Lord. Isaiah 26 verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Psalm 144 verse 2 says, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. The psalmist multiplies title for God, descriptions of his ability to bring security. He's a fortress. He's a high tower. He's a deliverer. He's a shield. And people who have been changed by the Spirit understand this. If God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his power, then he's able to help you in any situation, even terminal illness, even the sudden death of a loved one, even financial crisis, even people saying things about you that aren't true again and again and again. This is the source of security. And the Bible, throughout redemptive history, from that revelation to Moses to this verse, is telling you to put your confidence in this place of security. This is where true security is found. Psalm 18, which we sang last Lord's Day, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. When you're having a bad day, when you're having a bad week, when you're having a bad 6 months or 6 years, it's worthwhile to take the time to look around for a place of security. And Psalm 18, verse 2, helps you out. Because you're given all of these titles so that you might meditate and let the truth sink in. He is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And I suggest to you that if the Lord Jesus Christ did not know this, if the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to call God our Father, did not know this on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If he sought his security somewhere else, he would have abandoned his mission, save you and me. But he didn't. In the very midst of being forsaken by God, under his wrath, he called out to the living God, the place of security. He was seeking to run to the place of security. Of course, he was held there. So he could not. He was held there by God's will and by his love. So he would not abandon his mission. But in that desperate cry from Psalm 22 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking the place of true security. Because when God has something planned, when his wisdom, and when he has the power to bring it about, and when he is good and truthful, in an infinite, eternal, and unchangeable way, he is a place of security. Period. There is no other. That's why verse 11 is so strange. Because true security is available, and yet people seek the false security. What does it mean to be a strong tower? Well, you have to understand a little bit about how things were structured in the time in which the book of Proverbs was written. There were cities that had walls. They were the secure places. When people were attacked by enemies, they went to those cities. When the enemies came in, the most secure place was the tower, because it was strong, built well, able to withstand enemy attack, and because it was a tower, because it was high. It was set high above. And this word safe at the end of the verse, it's a word that has to do with being high up. It's a strong tower, a place where your enemies can't reach. And the Word of God uses that image to talk to you about the living God. No enemy can possibly bring him down. No enemy can possibly reach him. Satan tried. The beginning of book of Job, he's in the presence of God. He's talking about Job. You know, he's only righteous because you've given him all this wealth. Satan thinks a lot, exactly like verse 11. You've given him everything. Take it away. He'll curse you. And God says that he's righteous. And God says that Satan can do only so much. And the rest of the book of Job is about Job's trying to understand how God is working with him. We're reading through it in our evening worship service. But this security is found in the one who is called the strong tower. When the enemies came, you sought refuge in this tower. So I want you to think about it this way. There's a huge rainstorm outside, and a family member says, "Come inside. I saw lightning. Come inside." And some of us, afraid of a thunderstorm. What if it was gunfire? Would you go inside? What if it was fiery darts? You see, eventually there comes a place where we realize we need security. And sometimes in God's providence, he brings us to a place where we realize danger. It's a different place for each one of us. Some of us over-anticipate danger. We see danger everywhere when it's not there. Some of us don't see the danger until we're almost taken over. But this verse is telling you a different way. This verse is telling you to be so steeped in the character of God that you know that he is strong and high and lifted up. That he is the place of security. That he is the place where you need to run. And running in this situation is not being a coward. It's recognizing the threat. Because the person in verse 11, they don't recognize the threat. They don't realize that they live in a dangerous world. And part of the danger is right here, on the inside, our own greed, our own desire for more and more, that we might feel safe by ourselves. Without God. You see, this verse is telling us about true security in order that we might understand what false security looks like. One place where people find false security is in wealth. If the name of the Lord, if the description of his character, if God's character outlined for us in redemptive history, especially expressed in Jesus Christ, is a place that is strong against the enemy and is high and lifted up so that we're safe. To try to recreate that in a fallen world is a foolish task. And yet people try to find false security in wealth. They do it all the time. The rich man's wealth is his strong city and has a high wall in his own conceit. True security is found in the name of the Lord, but people seek false security in wealth. Proverbs 11:4 says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Even Job in Job 31 says, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoice because my wealth was great and because mine hand had gotten much. See, I didn't live that way. And then there's the story that Jesus tells, as he shows us an example of what it looks like to make your riches something that is a strong city, a place of security. Jesus says in Luke 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I don't have enough room for all of the wonderful harvest that I have. He's thinking a little bit like Nebuchadnezzar. Thought everything came from his hand. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here's a man who trying to set up a place of total security, a strong city. And you can easily drive past houses in this area and in many areas of the United States where people have tried to do the same thing. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man had not spent enough time in the book of Ecclesiastes. He forgot where wealth goes. He forgot that wealth can easily pass away. Yesterday I was driving to school with my son and a motorcycle drove by. And my son said, how many times have you been in accidents in your life? I'm 59 years old. And I thought about times. There was a time when I I was in Wisconsin and snow fell on the accelerator as I was driving our family home from morning worship. And the accelerator was stuck. And so I tried to brake, but we slid. We went right into a ditch and then we got out of the ditch. Other times when things a little bit more serious happened, by God's grace, I've never been in a massive collision. But he's looking at this motorcycle and he's saying, just one of those situations, if you were on a motorcycle, you could be dead. And then this morning I read that someone had died in a motorcycle accident near Erie, Pennsylvania. And I'm telling you this because I want you to understand that this is what it's like to try to consider wealth to be a strong city. To try to duplicate the security that you find in the living God in this world. It's just an illustration, it's one. But there is more danger than we realize. It's not an advertisement against motorcycle riding. It's a warning from my son, who's 21 years old, who's seeing the pattern. But it's bigger than that, because this is a word of God. This is talking about what security really matters. When you find the name of the Lord to be your strong tower, when you find him to be the place where you are running, because God has shown you that you need to run there. Many things are addressed. Psalm 91, verse 14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. The book of Colossians tells us that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and because we've trusted in him, that we are brought into a safe place. This is what it says in Colossians chapter 3. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The Bible says that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, something has been accomplished that has brought you into a safe place. But something more than that, it's actually caused your former life to be as though it were dead. And that's why the book of Colossians can go on to speak of the ways in which you can continue to fight sin. You can kill it because it's already dead. Your true life is in that secure place of life. Where is true security to be found? It's found in Jesus Christ. Psalm 56 gives us a very practical way of considering these things. In verses 3 and 4, when the Word of God says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. For some of us, it's simply the reminder that there is a place of safety that encourages us to run there running. It's the activity of faith. It's the activity of faith from someone who knows that there is danger. And the danger comes in a surprising place, the place that you thought was secure. Specifically, viewing wealth and savings as security. That's not true security. In God's providence, it's there, it's available, but it is not a place of security. And Jesus warns us against setting our confidence there, as if we could live in a strong tower, a strong city, and be protected from the events of life. If you're trying to live your life as though God's character doesn't really matter, if you've forgotten that God is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. If in your daily life you're reluctant to turn to God and his wisdom or his truth or to depend upon his goodness, it's as if we're riding through life with cars flying all over the place on a motorcycle, going as fast as we can, thinking we're okay because we trust in our own skills to manage that cycle. But you see, it's not about the skill of the rider. It's about the skill of all the other riders. We live in a dangerous world. And some of the greatest danger is outlined in verse 11. We need God's character revealed to us in Jesus Christ. We need to be living out of the safety that God has provided for us in Jesus Christ in order to fight sin. We need to know that God is a safe place in order to trust him. But here's the good news. Even more securely than ever, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, applied to believers by the Spirit, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Impenetrable, eternally beneficial, an oasis, and a place of security and rest, a place of peace, a place of joy, a place where the enemies of God cannot touch you, and you cannot ruin it yourself. Because no longer can we place our confidence in wealth that passes away, but in the character of God, expressed in his covenant name, and made abundantly clear to us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. If tonight your soul is required of you, like that man in Erie, Pennsylvania, or woman on that motorcycle, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, you're safe. You're safe in the way that really matters. And that's one of the reasons that as we prepare for the supper, we want people to be able to express their faith in Jesus Christ. Because to take on the ways in which God causes us to grow in knowledge of His security, it's important that we start trusting in Him.